I want to ask you this morning if you want to read the scripture with me that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'm going to ask if you would turn with me over to the book of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 33, and verse number 5 and verse number 6. So Isaiah chapter 33, reading just two verses this morning. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5 and verse number 6. Isaiah speaks as the Lord has instructed him, and he says in that fifth verse, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." I want you to pay particular attention, if you will, this morning to that sixth verse. "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." And I'm going to stop reading right there and ask that you just bow your heads one more time with me. And let us pray this morning and ask the Lord for his anointing in ministering the word. Father, we are so grateful today that we have the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord and together in your name, and to have the promise that when we gather in your name, that you are in our midst. We are thankful this morning, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have sang your praises. And we come now, Lord, to the reading of the word and to the expounding of your word. And I readily admit of my own self, I am inadequate. I am incapable. You are my sufficiency. I look to you. I pray that you will touch me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you will inspire my thoughts, that you will put your word in my mouth, and that you will let the word of the Lord come forth this morning with clarity and with understanding and with the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I ask, O God, for the unction to function. You said in your word, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Allow the Holy Spirit of God to give us liberty to speak as an instrument in the hand of the Lord this morning. Let our Jesus be exalted. Let the people of God be edified. And for all of these things, oh Lord, we will forever give you the thanks and we will forever give you the praise. And we ask them now, in the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. I want to title the message this morning, "The Stability of Our Time." The stability of our time. This morning I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the need for stability in our lives. How many of you feel this morning, and this is the question that the Spirit of the Lord just brought to me as he began to lay this word upon my heart. How many of you feel like we are living in a stable world? Anybody? Amen. I want you to understand this morning that if we are honest with ourselves, that none of us could answer that question in the affirmative. None of us could say with any confidence that we feel like everything is going well, right? We live in a very unstable world. We live in a very unstable time. We long for stability. We long for something that is concrete and unchanging. We long for something that is unmoving or something that is a solid foundation that we can build our lives upon and something that we know we can count on. Something that we know that we can trust in. We desire that kind of stability in our life. And yet, as we long for that kind of stability, it seems that the world and the very fabric of our society is crumbling around us day by day. We are living in a troubled world. We are living in a problematic, unsettled, unstable, and distressing time. The Apostle Paul said these words in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse number 22. He said, "We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now." What he was saying was that all of creation is groaning and all of creation is in turmoil, waiting for the day that Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and set up his kingdom and restore all things and make everything right. Can you say amen? But until that time, stop and think about it. The world itself, the earth itself is groaning. The earth itself is in turmoil and rage. Why do you think that we see massive storms? And why do you think that we see upheaval and natural disaster? The earth itself is groaning and waiting for the time that Christ will come and make everything anew. Amen. The earth itself is in turmoil. The earth itself is unstable. We are living in unstable times. We are living, amen, a life that is surrounded with instability, uncertainty. Consider with me this morning, and we have already heard someone made mention of the fact of the shooting that took place in Dallas, Texas over the last week. I never dreamed, consider with me some of the instability. I never dreamed in my lifetime that we would ever see our police officers purposefully gunned down in the streets of our nation. Just a few days ago, we watched in horror as a madman full of hate and filled with violence in an attempt to show his solidarity to the Black Lives Matter movement. He lit up the night sky with gunfire targeting the Dallas police force. Those that have put their lives on the line, amen, in order to serve and protect. He purposefully tried to gun them down. How unstable. In Valdosta, Georgia, a man called 911 with a supposed emergency. And while the unsuspecting officer arrived on the scene to help the man who had made the call, the man that made the call shot the officer that responded. Again, to show his alignment with the solidarity with the Black Lives Matter group. I thought to myself this past week that racial tensions in our society are at historical levels. And while you may or may not agree with me in my humble opinion, our president has done nothing but fan the flames, even with his rhetoric and with his ideology. Listen, I understand what I'm about to say is not politically correct, but yes, Black lives matter, and so do white lives and Latino lives. Amen. Every life matters. Jesus did not die for just the white man, but he died for all humanity and all mankind.
When you get right down to it, we are all blood. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that when God looks at us, He does not see the color of our skin, but He sees the content of our heart. Amen. And when God looks at us, amen, He's not looking at the color of our hide, but He's looking at the heart. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter whether you are black, white, Latino, amen, or blue, whatever your color may be, if you know Jesus Christ, you are my brother and you are my sister in the Lord. I thought it might be a little harsh, but it's come to me more than once. If you're a racist and you've got your butt in one of the seats, you might as well just move on out and let somebody else sit down in your place. Hello? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. There are no black, there are no white, there are no Latino in the kingdom of God. There are just blood-bought, born-again believers, amen, that have been washed in the blood and are sanctified and on their way to heaven forever. Amen. Jesus did not die for just one creed or one color, but He died for us all. And yet we have all of this instability and this unrest in our communities. I never dreamed that we would ever, or that I would ever see the day when people didn't know which bathroom to use. Hello? And we want to try legitimizing perversion by giving it a culturally correct name. Self-identification. Hello? People want to self-identify. I told my wife as I was putting this together, I could self-identify as a horse. I could eat hay, give the grandkids pony rides, but that don't make me a horse. Hello? Somebody said, now listen, we do need to love them, but I'm going to tell you what, if you think just because that I love them is going to cause me to stop and amen and not tell them that their perversion is sin, you are wrong. Hello? Yes, we are to love them, and yes, we are to show them the love of God, but we are also responsible for their soul, and it is our responsibility to let them know that the path that they are on will send them to hell. The Bible said in the beginning, God, not me, but God, created them male and female. Now, if you want to solve the bathroom issue, my advice is just check the plumbing and act accordingly. Hello? I never thought we would see a day. I never thought that we would see a day when we would let a 220-pound man walk into a women's restroom where our granddaughters and our wives, amen, have to use the restroom. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Amen. I just tell you this morning, we are living in unstable times. Instability. I never dreamed that I would see the day that our political leaders, amen, who fill the offices of our land, either cannot lead or they are hell-bent to lead us away from God and away from our American heritage. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? Our Constitution that thousands upon thousands have fought and died for is being trampled by executive orders and threatening our freedom and the very core and the very foundation of our government. I'm talking about living in unstable times. Amen. Our financial markets are unstable. Our world is filled with sickness and disease. Our world is filled with death and natural causes. Amen. Our natural disasters. We live with the threat of nuclear holocaust. How many of you know that the treaty that Iran just signed, amen, they have already stated if they get a nuclear bomb that they're going to endeavor to wipe Israel off of the map. And I guarantee you they have one with our name on it too. We live with the threat of nuclear holocaust. We live with inflation, recession, unemployment, road rage, rape, drive-by shootings. Our world at best is unstable. It's unstable. I realize this morning that I am not painting a very pretty picture, but I'm painting an honest picture. Hello? I'm painting an honest picture. So where can we go to find some stability in such uncertainty? To whom can we turn, and where can we turn to find the answer to stability in something that is concrete and something that is never changing and something that we can always use as a barometer to steer our life on a course that will lead us into heaven? I'm glad you asked this morning, because I believe that our text answers that question. Where can we turn to find some stability? Where can we turn to find some stability in the midst of such uncertainty? I believe that the text that we've read this morning gives us some insight into where we can find stability and something that is unchanging and something that we can build upon, amen, that will be from everlasting unto everlasting. Amen. Let me start this morning by giving you some historical setting for the text. Isaiah the prophet lived about 700 years before Christ. He was a prophet that spoke specifically to Judah, the southern kingdom. At that time, Judah was faced with uncertainty. Judah was faced with perilous times. The Assyrian Empire was advancing from the north, and the Assyrian Empire was conquering nation after nation after nation, and they are moving down in a southern way, and they have their eyes set upon the kingdom of Judah. They are moving to take the people of God out. If you are a biblical historian, you will understand that there have been historically six major world empires. And I don't want to get too bogged down with this, but the Egyptian Empire was the first. The Assyrian Empire was the second. The Babylonian Empire was the third, and the Babylonian Empire gave way to the Medo-Persian Empire, which gave way to the Grecian Empire, and number six, it gave way to the Roman Empire. And the Bible tells us that there are two more world orders that are to come. The next one that will come on the scene will be the Empire of the Antichrist. But oh, thank God, the one that's going to follow that is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he sets up his kingdom upon planet Earth. But at this time, the Assyrian army is moving down, conquering nation after nation, and they have their eyes set upon Judah. They had already wiped out the northern kingdom of Israel, and now they have their eyes or their sights set upon the kingdom of Judah. They are moving down the coast, if you will. They're moving down the way, amen, willing to take out the kingdom of Judah. And so Judah is in unrest. They are in uncertainty. They are in upheaval. They are, amen, in uncertain situations. They have a certain sense of instability in their lives. They know that the Assyrian army is coming, and some within the kingdom of Judah said, what we need to do is just surrender and give up. Some said, no, what we need to do is we need to turn to Egypt and ask Egypt to be our ally and ask Egypt to come and fight with us. If we can just join forces with Egypt, amen, then we can turn the Assyrians back and turn them the other way. And in the midst of all of that unconfusion and that unrest and that uncertainty and that instability, God sends his prophet. And God says by this prophet, he says, you warn the people that giving up is not an option. You tell the people that an alliance with Egypt is not going to help them. How many of you know that our help does not come from man? Amen. Our help does not come from man this morning. Our help comes from the Lord. Amen. We may be facing some uncertain time, but I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Men are not going to be able to help you. The only one that's going to be able to help you is the hand and the hand of the Lord, the power of Almighty God. So here in our text, God reveals, no, you don't need to surrender, and no, you don't need to trust in the arm of men. But he says, I'm going to give you the key to some stability in your life. Put your trust in the Lord. Here it is in our text. God reveals that the key to their salvation was their trust in the Lord and not in men. In our text, God reveals that the stability that they were looking for in their troubled times could only be found in him. I came to tell you this morning that our stability is not going to come by the hand of man, not by a new president, but only by the hand of the living God. The Lord, he said, would provide the stability that they need. When everything seemed lost, God says in that sixth verse, and I will be the stability of your times. I will be the stability of your times. The New King James says the stability of your times. In other words, God was saying that wisdom and knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord, will be your firm foundation. The wisdom and the knowledge of God's word would comfort us and give us stability in our uncertainty. He says, I'll be the stability of your times. He says that wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Who gives us wisdom and understanding and revelation? None other than God. God is saying, I will be the stability of your time. Let me give you that same verse in a couple of different translations. The God's Word translation says, God spoke and said, I will be the foundation of your future. Oh, I like that. I will be the foundation of your future. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have done some building in my day. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't get the foundation right, ain't anything else going to go together right. If the foundation ain't sound, the rest of the house ain't going to stand. Hello? God says, I will be the foundation of your future. You want to build a life that will last? You want to build a life that will stand the test of time? You want to build a life that is stable, steadfast, and unmovable? Then I came to tell you this morning, build it upon the solid rock. Build it upon Christ Jesus. And brother, when you build on the Lord, he will be the foundation of your future. Young's literal translation says this way, and God has been and God will be the steadfastness of your times. The NIV says he shall be the sure foundation of your times. The New American Standard says he shall be the stability of your time. He will be the stability of your time. You're looking for some stability in your life? I'm going to tell you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you some stability. God was telling them that he would be the stabilizing force in their life during their turbulent times. I came to tell you this morning that 2,700 years later, that same God that spoke these words through the prophet Isaiah, amen, this prophet Isaiah who uttered the words, he will be the stability of your time. I came to tell you this morning that that same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same God is the same one that was, that is, and that is to come. I came to tell you this morning that the same God that was there stability will be our stability in our troubled times. When we face fears and doubts, he will be the stability of our times. When we face sickness and distress, he will be the stability of our times. When we face wars and rumors of wars, he will still be the stability of our time. When we face hardships and adversities, he will still be, amen, the stability of our time. When we are faced with uncertainty and insecurity, he, our God, will be the stabilizing force that keeps us upright and on our feet. The psalmist said in Psalm 61 and verse number 1, and I love this verse. The psalmist said, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, how many of you have ever felt like you've just been overwhelmed by life? The psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I don't know who to turn to, and when I feel like everything is crashing in around me, and I feel such uncertainty and such instability, when my heart is overwhelmed, the psalmist said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, because he has been a sure foundation for me. He is our strong tower this morning. He is the stability in the unstable world that we need to latch on to. Amen. I know this morning we may not know what tomorrow holds, but if we know Jesus Christ, then we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And if we know who holds tomorrow, and we know that he holds you and I in the palm of his hand, then we got good confidence that everything is going to work out for our good. We may live in an unstable place, but my confidence is in the Lord. We may live in an unstable world, but he holds our future in the palm of his hand. We may live in an unstable place, but my name and your name, if you know Jesus Christ, has been written down in the Lamb's book of life, and we've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. The world may be an unstable place, but oh, thank God, the Word of God declares that he has caused us to sit with him in heavenly places, and that he has made you and I an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. This world may be
in an unstable place. But if you know Christ, this world is not your home. We are just pilgrims passing through a land on our way to heaven, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. We may live in an unstable place, but our God is anything but unstable. Our God is faithful and true. Our God is faithful and unchanging. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He is our source of supply. Amen. I'm going to tell you, somebody said the world is about to hit a recession like they ain't never seen. I'm going to tell you, our bank account is not tied to this world. Oh, Pastor Gary, you really believe that? I'm going to give you a biblical example. Amen. You remember a prophet by the name of Elijah? The brook dried up. He didn't have anything to eat. And God said, go to the little widow woman's house and I will sustain you there. There's a famine in the land. He shows up at the little widow woman's house. She's gathering sticks. He said, hey, what you doing? That's a loose white translation. Hey, what you doing? She said, I'm just building. I'm getting some firewood here. I got a little meal and a little oil. And I'm about to bake the last cake. I'm about to bake the last cornbread. And me and my son are going to eat it and then we're going to die. Because we ain't got anything else. The prophet of God said, hey, I tell you what. You go ahead and gather the sticks, but you make me a little cake first. Before you make one for your son and for yourself, you make the man of God one first. In other words, you give something to the man of God. And he said, as the Lord lives, the oil will not fail and the meal in the barrel won't go dry until the famine is over. And do you know what happened? The Bible said that she believed the man of God. And she made a little cake for him to eat. And you know what happened? Everybody else was experiencing a famine. But that little widow woman and that prophet who was staying with her, the Bible said that the meal did not diminish and the oil in the cruse never went dry. Amen. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, we may not have a lot in the bank account, but I've got a God that knows how to put meal in the barrel and oil in the cruse, and he knows how to take care of you and I in unstable times. Hallelujah. Wisdom, knowledge, and the salvation of the Lord will provide stability for our times. Wisdom, knowledge, and the salvation of the Lord will sustain us and provide stability. That's what he's saying in verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge and the salvation of the Lord shall be the stability of your times. Wisdom and knowledge and salvation shall be the stability of our time. Wisdom and knowledge and salvation shall be. So what we really need is, we need to figure out how to come to wisdom and knowledge and salvation. Hello? If wisdom, knowledge, and salvation shall be the stability of our time, then we need to figure out how do we get wisdom, knowledge, and salvation. Right? And he tells us. The question becomes, if wisdom and knowledge and salvation is the key to the treasure, the stability of our time, then how can we acquire wisdom and knowledge? And verse 6 goes on to tell us, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. If you want to get to the treasure that wisdom and knowledge and salvation bring, that treasure is stability. If you want to get to that wisdom and knowledge and salvation, then you have to come by the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the key to his treasure. Now, what does it mean, the fear of the Lord? When we read that in our Western mindset, we think horror movie. You know, I don't know what that Johnny the Chainsaw guy or whatever, you know. I don't know. I don't even know if his name was Johnny. Hello? We think fear. No. That's not what he's talking about. Although we should fear the Lord in a sense of awe, in a sense that, you know, he is powerful enough that he could thumbtack us to the wall and splatter us like a bug. But that's not the kind of fear that he's talking about. The kind of fear that he's talking about, that word fear would be better translated reverence. The reverence of the Lord, to revere God, to reverence God, to respect God, to hold God in high esteem. It means to honor God, to worship him in humble adoration. It means to put God first. It means to regard, to stand in awe, to esteem him above all things. Read that again. The reverence of the Lord. When you honor, when you esteem, when you, amen, attribute respect to God and reverence to God, that is the key that will bring you to wisdom and knowledge and the stability in uncertain times. That reverence will give you the key to the treasure house of God. Do you see it this morning? We put God first. We reverence God. We hold God in high esteem. That is the beginning of wisdom. That is the beginning of understanding. That is the beginning of knowledge. That is the beginning of revelation. And that is the beginning that brings us to the salvation of the Lord. And when we come to wisdom, knowledge, and God's salvation, it brings us into a place of stability, knowing that our future is secured and our past is forgiven, and it doesn't matter what happens in this life, we belong to him. Hallelujah. Those that lack stability in troubled times do so because they lack wisdom and knowledge and the salvation of the Lord. They lack these things because they do not reverence God. Hello? They lack these things because they do not reverence God. We have an entire community this morning. We have an entire community this morning. Many, many, if you ask them, do you believe in God? Many would tell you, oh, yes. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Many would tell you, absolutely. Absolutely, I believe. Isn't that reverencing the Lord? Listen, this is what Jesus said. He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, to me will enter in, but they that do the will of God. So while there is a great many in our community this morning that would tell you that they believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, they do not obey his word. And therefore, that is a simple sign that they do not reverence or esteem him. Hello? Because if you esteem him and you reverence him, then you have a desire to obey him. Amen? There are many that lack stability in troubled times because they lack wisdom and knowledge and salvation. And they lack the salvation and the wisdom and knowledge because they have not come to a place where they reverence and esteem the Lord. A proper reverence of God would cause them to turn from their wicked ways. A proper reverence of God or a reverence for God would cause them, amen, to turn their back upon the sin of this world and begin to walk in newness of life. A proper reverence for the things of God would cause them to have a desire to be in the house of the Lord with other Bible-believing Christians. A proper reverence for the things of God would cause them, amen, to have a desire to want to obey the Lord and obey his word and walk in his word and walk in his statutes. A proper reverence of the Lord would cause them, amen, to turn, amen, to wisdom and knowledge and the salvation of God. And there they would find stability for their life. We live in such an uncertain world, but oh, thank God. If you are a Bible-believing, blood-bought, born-again child of the living God, then you have no need to fear. You have no need to fear. There are people this morning that are making a living selling fear in this world. Hello? And it is true that the Bible says that there are coming some difficult times upon this world. So much so that Jesus even said if those days were not shortened, that even the very elect would not be saved. There's coming some hard stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, even in the hard stuff, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. I may lose my life tomorrow, but I still win. Because I'm going home to be with the Lord. Amen. I have the wisdom and the knowledge and the salvation of the Lord. And therefore I can say that the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what men can do unto me. Because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. I'm on my way to my destination. I am a citizen this morning of another country. Hey, that's good news. You don't want to be around to see some of the stuff that's coming. But listen, it is true that God has not promised us that there will always be blue skies. It is true that God has not promised us a pathway with nothing but rose petals. It is true that God has not promised us sunshine without rain or joy without sorrow or peace without pain or victory without struggle. But God has promised. I love it. Listen, God has promised that he will never leave us. And he will never forsake us. He has promised strength for the day and rest for the labor. He has promised light for the way and grace for the trials. We may be living in unsettled times. We may be living in turbulent times. But I got good news for you this morning. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our hope, our faith, our trust, our future, our stability is in the faithfulness of our God. In the faithfulness of our God. Heads are bowed this morning, eyes are closed. heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The stability of our times. The enemy wants nothing more than for you to look about in the world today and become fearful and uncertain and to overwhelm your spirit and your life and your heart by all of the instability and the unrest that's even coming to the streets of our nation. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is faithful. And that if you belong to him, he will keep you in the palm of his hand all the way to heaven's glory. We may endure some persecution and we may endure some hardships, but in the end, we win. When it's all said and done, the children of the Most High God shall come out victorious. He will be the stability of your times. What happened to the children of Judah? They leaned upon the hand of the Lord, and God protected them from the Assyrians and sent the Assyrians back home. They leaned upon the Lord, and the Lord was enough to see them through. I want you to know this morning that our God is enough to see us through. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you this morning for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I sensed as I ministered this word. Thank you that we have the assurance that you are enough. That our help does not come from the left, the right. It does not come from men, the stock market. It does not come through the hand of others. But oh, thank God that you are the stability of our time. To whom can we turn? And Lord, I thank you that you have clearly made it known that we can turn to you. That we can find wisdom and knowledge and salvation and strength and assurity. And we can discover the treasure of the Lord. A joyful heart in the midst of trials. A heart of peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of turmoil and uncertainty. Father, I thank you that that treasure has been opened to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch our hearts with this word this morning, I ask. In the mighty name of Jesus, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe you are here today. And you have allowed yourself to just get caught up with unrest and all of the uncertainty and all of the things that are happening in our world. Maybe you have just become unsettled in your spirit. And you have allowed the enemy to cause you to have unrest and uncertainty and instability. This morning, if you're here this morning and you have allowed that to happen, just slip up your hand and say, Lord, I thank you that you are the stability in my time. Yes, 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 yes. Lord, I thank you that you are the stability of my time. I don't trust in men. I don't trust in military might. I don't trust in the financial stock market. My hope and my trust is in you. And when others can't, I know you can. You are the stability of my time.
Amen. You are the stability. Hands have been lifted all over the place. Stand to your feet this morning. They're going to come and lead us in a worship course before we leave. Stand all over the building. Heavenly Father, thank you for hands that have been lifted. Hearts, Lord, that have been unsettled, let them be resettled. Let them find some assurity. Let them find some comfort and some peace in knowing that our help comes from the Lord, the God of heaven and earth that neither sleeps nor slumbers. Let them go this morning from this house with an assurance in their spirit and an assurance in their heart that you have everything in control. That your arm is not short, that your ear is not heavy, that you cannot hear and you cannot reach down right in the middle of our turmoil and give us peace. Like the disciples on the sea, peace be still. I speak peace this morning into every unsettled heart in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it.